now is that once you say, who wants to give money, put up your hand, I will never answer you. If you say, who wants to give us 1,000 naira, and I intend to give you 10, I won't put up my hand, ever, again, except for very special reasons, you understand? But let me tell you my reason. I told one brother in church. In fact, there was a day, something like that was going on, and two people in front of him put up their hands, a man and his wife. So I just stabbed them and said, don't worry, I'll pay for you. Okay? But me, put up my hand, like, I won't. I will not put up my hand. He said, why? I said, because we seem to have just deliberately closed our eyes to what Jesus said. That when you are doing charity, we give you money. Don't do it publicly. Is this so difficult to read now? I said, we just close our eyes as if it is not written there. People will just say, amen, praise the Lord. Today, we are going to take our... Now, everybody, if you are going to give us 2,000 naira, come forward right now. I said, me, carry this leg. God will speak by dreams and visions to get me together. No, my reason is simple. We seem to have forgotten that Jesus just said, please, don't do these things publicly. We just deliberately closed our eyes to it. I've seen preachers say, oh, open your offering, I want to see it. And the argument they give is that Jesus saw the widow drop the mite. Whether he was operating by word of knowledge, you don't even know. And in case Jesus saw her, then let your pastor go and be sneaking into the basket when you are looking. You don't, when you are dropping it, you shouldn't be the one to make an open show. Are you a devil that they are overcoming you and making an open show of you? Do you understand my point? Anyway, but you see, be that as it may be, but you see, the truth is still that nothing beats having the giving spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, let me just say this. I titled today's message, The Power of the Giver. Because, now, before I go on to what I want to say, please, let me recommend. I don't know whether I will still have the tracts here or it's available anywhere. Cheerful Giver, that tract, if we don't have it here, please go to the internet and print it out and read it again. For me, there are 18 tracts we have currently in circulation. If you rank them in my own personal assessment, it's among the top three. I don't know which one to put on top, whether that one, Daniel, or the This Is Faith. No, those are my top three. And I know this is changing with time. Next year now, top three will change another one. But that Cheerful Giver is consistently on top. I think I wrote that ago. I mean, I tried to write it a few times. The one that just sat down. I just said, have you ever heard the expression? No. That one, Spirit of Faith. There was a way that Cheerful Giver and Spirit of Faith. Those are tracks I wrote almost at a sitting. You understand? Now, get it. It is important you read it and understand. Because I have found out in the scriptures that there's one thing we read just now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Let's go back there, and then maybe I just kick off from there for the rest of the time that I have. I talk about the power of the giver. That's what we're talking about. Now, first, let me read 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 7. It says, let each one, in Corinthians, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you read that tract, I discuss that expression extensively. That when God loves, you have to understand this. It is not the way human beings love. God is love. Amen? Now listen to this. Listen to this. God is love. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you have read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 before, you know what it says? Love does not seek his own. Have you ever heard that? That this love does not seek his own good. Meaning that God does not ever seek his own good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is love. And love does not seek his own good. It means God does not ever seek his own good. Let me tell you something about God for a moment. Let's assume that... Oyeka, look at me. Let's assume I'm broke right now. I'm broke. Bad. And you give me 100,000 naira. Have I increased or have stayed the same?
You have increased me. You have given me money. Thank you. Can God increase?
No.
He can't increase. You know what that means, really? You can't give him anything. People have said that praise is the food of God. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. That's what he said. You know what that tells me? Praise is not his food. Because the scriptural truth is that if he were hungry, he said, I won't tell anybody. So for him to tell you to praise God, it means therefore that God does not eat your praise. You know, we say things sometimes as Christians, it's fun. Oh, praise is the food of God. When people say that, I say, but God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So for him to have told us about praise, it means that he doesn't eat it. Listen, you can't bless God. That is, he can't get better than he is. He can't. For that reason, he does not ever require, he never beg or ask anything from anybody so that he can get better. Because he doesn't have the ability to get better. Because if he could get better, that means he's not the best there is right now. That means the God of tomorrow will be better than the God of today. If we praise him plenty today, he will get better tomorrow. But he said, I am the same today, just like I was yesterday, and I will be like that forever. What does that tell you? If the whole earth backslides and worships the devil, God is not affected at all. In him, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't get better. He doesn't get worse. What does that tell you? You can never give God anything. Remember, God is love. And anytime he tells people to give something, you know the reason? I found out it's very, very, very scriptural. It is because he wants you to connect to a blessing. Listen to me. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and thy waters. In the realm of the spirit, it's a matter of cause and effect. Truth is, nothing goes for nothing, spiritually speaking. Nothing. Now, get me? I don't mean that you can't prosper without giving money. That's not what I mean. Nothing goes for nothing means that God always has an excuse to bless somebody, for blessing somebody and not blessing another. Like I told them in church the other day, that sovereignty is not the same thing as lawlessness. They are two different things. Sovereignty and lawlessness are not the same thing. God doesn't just come and say, I think I could take blessing. And Ubang will say, where is my own? And he will not have an explanation for not giving him. Listen, it's a spiritual truth. God always has an excuse for blessing somebody. Remember what he said to Abraham? Maybe we should read that. Genesis. I told you I have these tips that I preach in church. They are available. The righteousness of God and the other titles now, but there are a number of them. No, this one is a recent one, just about 2 weeks ago. Now I wanted to read something about the life of Abraham. When God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. Yeah, 22. Now, because of time, we won't read everything, but you know the story, don't you? You know how Abraham came and how Isaac came and how God spoke to Abraham that he should go and sacrifice Isaac and how Isaac prepared Abraham. Isaac could not have prepared Abraham, for goodness sake. How Abraham prepared Isaac and his servant, and they went to the place of sacrifice, Mount Moriah. And then how he bound Isaac, put him down and wanted to kill him. And God now spoke. Verse 12. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, let's jump Abraham's response and go down to God's statement. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Remember that first thing he said. He said, because you have done this thing. Listen, God always needs an excuse to bless. Blessings don't rain free of charge. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They don't. God will always, look, he told Abraham, I am the God who made everything. Walk before me and I will be perfect. And I will bless you. What does that mean? That if you want the blessing, there is something you must do. Nothing goes for what? Nothing. You see, I said that a lot of things we say in life, in themselves, if you understand the truth, you know they are really, really true. It's just that men have corrupted the truth. You know, you can do that. For example, this thing I'm saying now, most preachers that preach it, they always end it with taking an offering. And I think it is wrong. That's me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, after preaching like this, I say, look, okay, five people give me 5,000 naira. You will jump up. Don't think you are very strong. But sometimes we have to be careful not to manipulate the word of God, people with the word of God. Not to do what the Bible calls dealing craftfully with God's word. I'm telling you the truth. You have to be, as a preacher, you have to be careful. Because when you finish preaching, people will be moved. It's what you will now help them to use their movement to do. That's the issue. No, that's the truth. No, that is the truth. People will be moved. It's not how to guide them in that movement to the correct place. I remember somebody was saying, talking once, and you know, sometimes when I seem to speak against some doctrines and popular practice in the body of Christ, I have my reasons. Man said he went to pray, that he took his check leaves that he used to pay his tithe and showed it to God. And I shook my head that you are deceived. So somebody told you that to come to God, you show proof of payment. Mafia boss, I have paid your enforcer. Don't let the devourer leave me alone. No, honestly, I don't have all the time to go into detail about it, but those things are not correct. Let me tell you the truth. I don't care. You know, I told you at the beginning, look, everybody can say what they like. God is true. Everybody else is a liar. I don't care the testimonies you have to share with me to prove that certain things are correct. If I look into God's word and it does not tally, I won't accept it. Because you have to understand God's personality. He's a very kind person. He can, despite the nonsense you are doing, bless you all the same. I was telling you earlier that a book is selling is not proof of what's inside. Harry Potter is one of the best-selling books on earth today. But does that mean that he's telling divine truth? I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You see, the Bible says that the earth by itself produces. The farmer does not know how. What causes certain things to happen? You really don't know it. And you know, Baba God is very, very interesting. Sometimes I'm afraid of him. No, let me explain what I'm saying. You will see a man who did something once, like Abraham here. And God swore that he will bless him. And the same man will go out there and say, yes, now this my right hand is blessed. If I just slap you with it, you will be blessed. God never told him that. But because God has sworn that he will bless him, the man will gather a congregation of 100,000 people, slapping them, and you will not be able to comprehend. You say, but does God not love the 100,000 people? There are people that are called sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. God looks at the ones that want to go astray and allows him, he directs them to that man to collect their money. I'm telling you the truth. God, it can be very dangerous. Look, let me tell you the truth. You cannot just observe things and say, this is how God is. You have to study the scriptures and pray. Say, God, show me your ways. a lot of those that followed David were rascals. You get the point? What I mean? You can never really understand why God is blessing some people. God said to Abraham, because of this thing you have done, I swear. Listen, let me tell you what. I'm talking about the power of the giver. Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Do you understand my point? That is, physical things can be used to procure spiritual investments. But listen, God always looks at the heart of the man who is doing it. One of the ways by which we have misrepresented God is to tell people that when you want spiritual, that when you want more money, you go and give money. Paul said, remember I was telling you about God is love. Paul said, if I do anything and it is not motivated by love, I profit nothing. What is love? The desire to be a blessing to somebody else. If I give money because I desire more money, it doesn't produce anything. Because God said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I search the mind. I test the heart. Before I recompense for everyone with the result of his deeds. And you see, it's for both for good and bad. I told you once I was going on the express. There was a riot in Oka that day. So shortly after I left Oka, my car, I think I must have stepped on, if I saw it, one big broken key just entered my tire. But we had to go and pass through all the corner road inside Oka to come out on this other side of the express. When I reached the road, my car tire was leaking very bad. You know? Now, for a tubeless to leak that bad, the puncture must be serious. So anyway, I found it. What problem was, remove the tire. It was a bit convoluted, the wahala of changing the tires. I had to move one tire from the back to the front, fire, put the spare in the back and all that. While I was doing all this, there was one young man that was trying to help. He went to buy pure water for me. And as he was doing everything, I just looked at him in my mind. This boy is doing all of this, so when I finish changing my tire, I will carry him. Unfortunately, I had no plans for doing that. One, my car was overloaded to the top. And it was almost full inside. And I had one bad tire. I'd rather you sleep on your car than my whole family sleep on the road. You understand what I'm saying? Now, but when the boy was doing it, I was just looking at him in my mind that, if you know me well, I am not impressed. You can't put me under pressure by buying me pure water. I insisted on giving him his money back for the pure water. Unfortunately for him, anyway, I wasn't planning to travel with that tire like that. I reversed and went into town to go and have the tires pumped. You understand what I'm saying? I just told that story to explain that the motive for doing things, God judges it. God judges the motive. When he blessed Abraham for releasing Isaac, it was because it was a demonstration of the faith of Abraham. We've talked about that in the past. I don't want to spend all the time going over it. It was a demonstration of the faith of Abraham. Listen, I was saying something earlier, that God does not ever ask people to give things to him because he wants their things. It is because he always needs an excuse to bless people. If he doesn't find an excuse, he will not bless. It is always a case of, because of this thing you have done. It's always a case of, because you have done this thing. Listen, I know that righteousness is by faith, and we keep on trying to balance that thing. But one mistake we shouldn't make is to think that there was no righteousness by faith before the New Testament. Abraham was righteous by works. Faith, thank you very much. It wasn't works. James said it was his works cooperating with his faith. In reality, what he was saying is that faith is always demonstrable as works. That is, if you say there is no faith, there is faith, there must be works to show it. Faith in itself being intangible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the work somebody is doing that shows you whether he has faith or he doesn't. I went to preach somewhere once, talking to young people on, you'll be surprised I teach on such topics, was on courtship, marriage, things like that. I know you are very, very surprised. But they invited me and I just went to share with them. And they were really, really blessed, all right? One of the questions they asked that day, because there was a question and answer time. And such times, you know, don't ever tell people to stand up and ask their question. You allow them to write it in papers because you hear all kinds of questions. A lady wrote, and I knew it was a lady because she said, "How do you know a man really loves you?" So that's what I think is a lady, right? And they have a unique handwriting. Have you noticed that? There's a way women, once, no, try it. Gather 100 handwritings and tell me to pick the one written by women. I will get at least 75%. Anyway, that's by the way. Now, why I'm telling the story called the answer I gave, I thought to myself, I said, and I told them honestly that I can't give you a foolproof method, though. But one thing I am sure of, Sha, is that the person who does not give to you does not love you. I said, I am not saying that everybody that gives to you loves you. Some of them, which again brings us back to this issue of God judging motives. Anybody that does not love, give to you, doesn't love. Now, get my point. You have to understand that God does not this. I'm not talking about feeling. Feeling is generated by attention. Do you get what I'm saying? When you meet your friend in school, you didn't know him before. Two of you are boys, girls, whatever. Then after you stay together for a year, you get so used to each other that if one person travels, for the first 1 week, you are not balanced. It's attention, you know, too much familiarity. That's how it works. Now, so feelings be. Do you get my point? The feeling and love are not the same thing. I remember one film we watched long ago of one man. The guy was a real, now get my point, it was a true story of an American soldier who fought in Vietnam. And this guy was a valiant warrior. And to him, I could see that warfare was his life. For certain reasons, they had to discharge him from the army. When war finally broke out in Vietnam, that's the serious war, you know, he called his friend in the army that may find a way of getting me back. Yes, I know I'm not a civilian, but you must get me back. You know, the guy took a commanding position as a civilian. When things are tough, some rules will shift. But I noticed something about the guy. I told that people die for various reasons. He was a very useless man. The most unfaithful lover you have ever seen. About, of course, he was married, had a child or two. Then he would go and sleep with the childminder that used to come. While he was in Vietnam, he saw one school teacher. He said he fell in love. Now, this is where I'm telling the story. He told his friend, he said, "You know, I can't help falling in love." I said, you are just a goat. This is not falling in love. Then he saw one little girl. According to him, fell in love with that one again. He had gotten that one pregnant before he realized it and told the girl's father that I know he's planning to marry her and married her. You know, he was just a useless man. At that time, his wife in the U.S. had divorced him. Such a valiant, valiant warrior. There was a time things were so tough. True story, it was based on his true story. If the way he delivered his people from that bad situation, I won't bore you with the details, but when they finished, all of them looked at him and said, "Where do you get your luck from?" There was a spirit of Joab inside him. But then, after surviving all of that, he entered one helicopter one day to go somewhere, and the helicopter crashed and died. And you know, I'm a spiritual man, so I just said he died for his immorality. No, because God didn't allow him to die in battle. He was a valiant warrior. God didn't let him die in battle. Then after battle ended, he entered a helicopter to just go from point A to point B. Helicopter crashed into the mountains and he died. And I said, this man died for his immorality. Why did I start telling that man's story? Do you know, I can't remember. Okay. Thank you. Because I lost track. So I said, look, love is not that funny feeling, that nonsense feeling people feel. That's not the point. So somebody can say that he loves somebody and the Bible says he doesn't. Let me give an example. The man said, the Bible says that he that does not chastise his son hates the son. But the man thinks he loves the son. Is that not so? But the Bible says he hates him. And remember, God is true. Every other person was liar. So I told the young people there, I said, I don't know for sure, But one I know for sure is that if he doesn't give to you, he doesn't love you. If he says, the man doesn't know how to give, please don't marry him. You will be very unhappy. I'm telling you the truth. I'm warning you. Now, you have to understand that I'm talking about within the context of what he has. The Bible says it's acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. Look, if the person has little and is ready to share the little, he's a good man. If he has plenty and is ready to share the plenty, he's a good person. But if he has little and is not ready to share at all, he's a wicked man, giving space. I'm telling you the truth. You see, because of time, I can't go into all the details of analyzing all these things. But let me just say this generally so that we can close. Time is really going. What I want to say is that, see, like I said earlier, that God, anytime God commands that people should give, it is so that they can connect into a blessing. Remember I told you about the prophet's reward. Jesus said that if anybody gives to a prophet because he's a prophet, he said he gets what? A prophet's reward. And I explained to you like this. This is the way it goes. The Shunammite woman, let's use as an example. In fact, I was reading her earlier in the day. Now, this Shunammite woman didn't have a child, all right? Now, Elisha was a prophet with his little prophet, Gehazi. And for the work of the ministry that God had committed to Elisha's hand, God has attached rewards. There was a time I went to one church and one young lady was speaking and that, now, you'll be surprised that I believed her. And I will believe her mainly because it was not a Pentecostal church. If it was a Pentecostal church, I would have been wondering. That, you know, these Pentecostals are very funny people. You know, this one, it was not a Pentecostal, so she didn't really, she was not used to the Pentecostal misbehaviors, you know. That is it. So, you know, we do some things to the extreme, that's what I mean, all right? Now, but she said something, and I really believe that, that she wanted to build a chapel in the prisons where she was, young girl, youth copper, all right, where she was going out to minister, and that she needed money. They gave her time to speak in the church. So she wants people to help her so that she can build that chapel. And that the other night she dreamt, and she saw two children, and God told her that they are part of the reward for building that chapel. So she just challenged people that if you need, whether for yourself or for your relation or something, that it might be a good opportunity that one of them could be yours. Now, let me tell you the truth. You know, you'll be surprised. I believe that wholeheartedly. No, honestly, I believe that completely. Especially since this girl was a youth copper and didn't need the money for any other thing but build that chapel inside prison. So she can't even sell it later. You know what I'm trying to say? It was going to be inside prison. And I believed it because it was in keeping with scripture. That's what the Bible calls a prophet's reward. Anybody that assists in the discharge of the ministry of a prophet gets his own portion. Now, get my point? The prophet does not necessarily get the choice portion. Everybody gets a portion according to faithfulness. Do you understand my point? That was why, at the point in time, Elisha looked and said, "This woman has been so good to us. What should we give to her?" Now, let me call it like this. He made a mistake that I try not to make because God has instructed me. I try not to reward people for being good to me, either because I'm a preacher or being good to the work that I am doing. Because if you do reward them personally, you deny them of God's reward. He asked the woman, "What can I do for you? Let's speak to the governor, to the king." She said, "Not necessary." "To the captain of the host, not necessary." "So what do you want?" She said, "Nothing, I'm happy." And she left. Then God intervened. It was like the principle of Solomon. "Ask for anything and I will give you." And the woman said, "I don't want anything." And she went, left. And Gehazi came and said, "Oga, have you not noticed that she doesn't have a child?" So the man said, "Go and call her back." That was God. And said, "This time next year you will embrace a son." And the woman refused to accept it. He said, "Don't deceive me." But Elisha was so anointed. And God said, "This is a matter of reward, not faith." I'm rewarding faithfulness. You have to understand that she had the child anyway. That is not in keeping with God's character. If you're talking about grace, what was happening was it was a matter of faith. God was just rewarding her for her faithfulness. But because she did not receive that child, that's why the child died. One day, the child died as a young boy. Then they went to call Elisha. And they called Elisha. You know the story. And when he came, he raised the child up back from the dead and did not give the child to the woman. And he told her, go and take him up for yourself. Now, those are deep spiritual truths. The previous time, he gave the woman the child by force. But she couldn't sustain it. Next time, when he raised the child, he said, no. This time, you want the child, go and take him by yourself. Let me tell you what. When God is rewarding faithfulness, I've seen people look, say that, we believe in God, though. That tells me that once you are faithful, God will force the blessing on you. Now force, not be beg. If you are still praying too much for material provisions, you are not faithful enough. If you spend your energy, that same energy, praying, God, what is it that you want me to do? Let me tell you, some of the things, the principles about life, it is important that we learn it, but sometimes it is hard. Bishop Oyedepo has a rule. He does not ever say thank you. People have given him tens of millions of naira. He never says thank you. It's now I understand. His thank you will deny you of your reward. So just take it and pocket it and drive you away. Look, let me tell you the truth. If a man is really walking with God and doing the will of God, sometimes he will appear crazy. Listen, let me tell you one thing about God. He could create food for Elijah at that brook. Do you understand my point? He could call a bird from a distant country to come and feed Elijah. But he said, I will send you to the house of the Zarephath woman so that you can go and preserve her life and that of her child. That is, God was looking for an excuse to bless that woman. He didn't find. So he sent Elijah and said, I have commanded you, probably by a dream or a vision or something, or by teaching. One way or the other, he had commanded that woman, a prophet will come, feed him. When the man came, and the woman responded to the word of God and fed him. The word of God just came to Elijah. Elijah and said, don't worry. That food will never finish. The reason he went there was not because God was trying to sustain Elijah. God could have sustained him beside that brook. When Jesus was going to comment, what did he say? He said, there were many lepers in Israel. None of them was healed, save what? Naaman, the Syrian. In the same manner, there were many widows in Israel. To none was Elijah sent, save for that particular one. What does that tell you? Naaman came to get blessed. The woman was called to be blessed. Jesus was explaining it. That it was not for Elijah's sake. Because if it was for Elijah's sake, he wouldn't be commending it. He was explaining to them. It's a matter of faith, people. That woman collected her deliverance from poverty by obeying the word of God. What no other widow in Israel could do. Listen, that is why God tells people to give. In Philippians chapter 4, because of time, you see, we can't really open to all of them. You remember that, what's his name? Okay. Now, Paul explained in Philippians chapter 4 that I am not saying this because I want something from you. He said, but so that credit may be added to your account. That is, every believer has an account with God. Every believer has an account with God. And it is how, let me tell you something about money. Money to me, I have, after thinking about it, is the most important determinant in life of your faith. Listen, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I emphasized it to us earlier. Second Corinthians chapter 8, where we're reading, verse 8. It said, I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proven through the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love also. That is, the sincerity of love is demonstrated in how people handle finances. Can you see what I'm trying to say? That whatever you don't give to, you don't love. That is a fact. I mean what I am saying. For time's sake, let me just keep rolling. Do you understand me? Now, what you don't give to, you don't, no matter how much you sweet talk about it. One of my friends the other day, he's a pastor. That my friend in Sokoto that I told you about. The first car he had, he got, it was by God's blessing, you understand? People just gathered together and gave him the money to that, which he bought the car. That's how he got it, all right? It was just divine provision. So he told me once that for certain reasons, he had to sell the car because he needed money for more, let me just put it like that, more important and more pressing needs. So the easiest way was to sell out the car. He now told me that one of the people in his church heard, and one man protested like, how can pastor sell the car? How can our pastor sell? No! He shouted and shouted. So because of his uproar, they said, all right, now that, they said it can be remedied, no, because you just go and buy another one. It's not a difficult thing. So they now gathered and said that, all right, let's see how we will now raise the money and either redeem that car or buy another car, something like that. After all the rake, this is why I'm telling you the story. And I asked the man, okay, since you are the one pressing like this, okay, so where do we start from? The man begins scratch head. That's what I'm telling the story. He said, okay, he will give 5,000 naira. Wait, cars, a decent one, called, maybe let's say very cheap, 300,000. You are bringing 5,000 naira. What does that tell you? That his raking was not sincere. The man who I told you was preaching in my church yesterday, Reverend Don Odunze Jr. He said he went to preach in Lagos. He didn't have a car. Big man like this. He said every time his Okada and boss in the walk up and down with his wife. He used to have a car. He died somebody long ago. About 3 years ago. He said he finished preaching and somebody came to him. No, somebody in church put up his hand and said, Oga, can I say something? And he was like, I can see you preach. Somebody wants to talk. If not, if I don't go agree, I was just seeing me personally. Anyway, the man grabbed microphone and said, how can an anointed man like this not have a car? That please, he's a salary earner, but 100,000 naira, he's dropping from his salary. They have to buy him a car. He was a guest minister. He's based in Enugu. This was in Lagos. That five other people come and give me 100,000. Anyway, cut the long story short. Instantly there, a pledge of 1.something million naira was made. 1 month later, they delivered to him a full option padded V-boot. Gave it to him. Sincerity of their love, that's the point I'm making. The other man, you know, I've told two stories now. One raked. At the end, okay, maybe he didn't realize that the man could be made upon him to support this raking. So after he had raked, they said, okay, show the sincerity of your love. The man began to explain. Let me tell you the honest truth. If you're a man, you are chasing a woman. The proof that she will never agree, and if she agrees, she won't do you good if she never gives to you. Let me look, I'm being frank with you, Kingsley. You are here, I know you're a single man, all right? Listen, you are scratching wall like you. I'm not talking to you. You are one of the all you single boys. If you pursue a woman once, 1 month, 2 months, you're always the one buying the present. God will not need to speak to you again. You are on the wrong track. And she's considering it. Come. Anybody considering you should love you. If the person loves you, the sincerity of the love is shown by giving. I told you, it's acceptable according to what a man has. Anything a man or a woman does not give to, he or she does not love. The other day, you know, Hey, Mike, you know, I've been grumbling for a long time that I need a new handset. I need a new handset. And when I look handset, look at the tire of my car. So if I have money, I will buy tire first instead of handset. My handset is working very well. Nothing wrong with it. Well, at least largely. I have a few odds against it, like the Bible will say, but then I went for a wedding in one church, not Pachime. And the man was, I can't remember exactly what he said, but all I knew, remember, was that he said, if a man, that the Bible said that he that loveth his wife loveth himself. So I drove down to this building and bought my wife a brand new handset. Why? I needed one. And the Bible said that if you love your wife, you love yourself. So I just came down and bought one new one for my wife. At least, no, that one worked very well. Is that, has that given me a new handset? Yes, my wife is in. Anytime I see it, I say, at least, God, this is good. A new handset. What am I saying? Where gifts don't flow, love is not there. That is a fact. If anybody tells you he loves something and does not give towards that thing, the person is lying. Get my point? The person may be deceived. There are people who are deceived. That is, he thinks that he loves, but he does not know that he doesn't. And let me, you know, I said earlier, the reason why God, in fact, open to 1 Timothy chapter 6, the reason why God tells people to give is because that is the way by which they connect to blessing. If you gave to Abraham, you are agreeing with God concerning his oath on Abraham. God will bless you. Why did he say? How did he say that? He said, I will bless them that bless you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I'll give some practical tips in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No matter how much this truth has been twisted, you know, to serve people's personal goals, it is still the truth. You understand my point? People may mishandle it. It is still the truth. First Timothy chapter 6. From verse 7. That's a 7. 17, yeah, thank you. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He said, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. He said, instruct them. I'm reading the New American Standard, as you know. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. He said, when they do that, what are they doing? Verse 19. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Future was not saying when they die. He's talking about future as in future, anything beyond today. Now, notice one thing. The point I want to get here is this. Paul said, instruct them that are rich not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who supplies us all things. Instruct them to do good. This is what I'm trying to say. When they do good and are rich in good works and are generous and ready to share, that is proof that their hope is not on the uncertainty of riches. Anybody that cannot give, the truth is that he trusts in money. I have found that, look, experience told me one thing. If you find somebody who's always giving excuse of why he can't give, he's needing this, need, and his personal needs, know that he's a covetous man. He trusts in money. One experience I had with some people is that they never really, when they tell you that I don't have money to give, they are not lying. The truth is that they are so invested in themselves that they have nothing for anybody else. Now imagine, Oyeka, maybe you decide now that as soon as you graduate, motor is your assignment in life. God has called you to buy a car. With all the little money you gather, you invest money in one kuku yeke old car and bought it for 180,000. You have entered debt for the next 6 months as a youth copper. Who's paying you anything? So every month they give you allowance and small jara from where you are saving. You take from it, pay the man you are owing for the car. So no matter the talk somebody talks, you can never give. Why? You have overstretched yourself for a personal gratification. You trust in money. That's what the Bible is saying. I'm telling you the honest truth. That is why one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is when David said, "My eyes are not haughty, neither is my heart proud." He said, "God, I have not stretched my hands." You know, he said, "I have not engaged myself in matters too difficult for me." One day somebody said, "Am I building a house?" I said, "No. I'm building a house." He said, you don't reach now. I said, "Building a house, no matter whether I feel like I have reached, is money." And let me tell you the honest truth. If he was earning what I'm earning, he would be building a house. Unfortunately, I can't do that. I tell people, it takes too much from my commitments. That I only need, that is only when I'm trusting in material things that I will do that. I feel like once I have a house, then my future is made. Ask her, Mike, how much it costs to get a decent house. He's a specialist, he will tell you. No, it's the truth. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith, there's a lot of people practice foolishness, they call it faith. Faith is not God. I just believe God that from next month I'll be earning half a million naira a month. If you are saying that, let me tell you the truth. Hear this from any part of the world. It is not faith. Jesus said something very clearly. Who amongst you will want to build a house that will not first sit down and count and check whether he has the resources? Now, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying faith doesn't stretch. It's just that faith counts what God has done for him. Let me say what I'm saying. Before David went after Goliath, he told the story of the bear. He told the story of the lion. One day I was in church, and somebody talked about, okay, we're going to spend maybe a budget or something for like, maybe like 2 million naira. I called the other guy who was pretty associated. I said, "Come, have you guys ever done a budget of 250,000 and it worked?" "You're starting with 2 million. I said, "Okay, I'm waiting here for your failure. But I won't say it so that you won't say some people didn't support us. I won't say it. I'll just be watching you." Do you understand what I'm going to say? There is a way God will relate with you. You know what he's about to do. I have found that people who stretch themselves like that, they are lying. It's covetousness, trust in money, love of self. It will not come. He can't. He doesn't have. I had a friend when I was in university. You can never get a dime out of his pocket. And then one day I asked, and you know, he will tell you like, "No, search." You really search him, and he never had. Then I finally got his principle. If he's leaving hostel for the day, and this was long ago, this was around 1986, and he needs a naira, and he needs, let's say, 2 naira to eat and do everything for the day, he will take 1 naira 90 kobo. So he's always short. Do you get the point I'm making? He's always so short so that when he demonstrates to you that he doesn't have, he really doesn't have. But the truth is that God said, "I, the Lord, I test the heart." You have set yourself up like that so that you will not be able to release. Look, my time is going. Let me just quickly round up. I said I was going to give some practical tips. I have found that you know me on a matter of tithing. All right? So I don't have to start over it again. All right? But let me summarize by saying that no matter how popular a doctrine is, if you can't show it to me from the scriptures, I will not accept it. My studies of the scriptures has shown that tithing is not biblical for a believer. God never commanded it. God does not require it. God does not rebuke the revolver for a believer's sake before he paid it, because he paid a tithe. And God does not ever, ever ask a believer to pay tithe. I don't have time to discuss that. I will state it as a matter of fact and I leave it there. I decide to say that for two reasons. One, those who believe it will never accept, no matter how much I prove it. Those who are willing to believe it but don't understand it will ask questions. Those who already know it don't need me to prove it to them. So I won't waste much time. Do you understand my point? Okay. Let me just say this in passing. I have read all the arguments That is, in the last 10 years, I've not heard any new argument. Okay, I heard one little new argument that didn't make much sense. I quickly dispense of it. But apart from that little one I heard about 2 years ago, I've not heard any new argument that somebody had to give me in the last 10 years. This is the same thing over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. And I challenge those who preach it. Where did God say the church, the local assembly, is a storehouse? It's not in the Bible. It's not there at all, but we're not going to spend time on that. However, I want to just give practical tips to every believer, and that is the fact that giving must be a committed thing. Let me explain what I'm saying. You see, I've noticed one thing in churches. Preachers encourage people to be impulsive. You don't remember impulsive? Just finish preaching, just say, right now, we need money. Okay, who will give 10,000 naira, 5,000 naira? You hear it all the time. You want to hear the truth? Those things are born out of the need in the heart of the man talking, not out of the truth. Paul said, when I speak, I'm looking for how I will bless you. Philippians chapter 4 that we're referring to. He said, I am not saying this because I demand a gift from you. He said, but I want there to be increase to your account. He said, why? I have learned how to abound. I have learned how to abase. Meaning that even if I'm poor, I won't discuss it with you. That's what he was saying. That is the only reason why I'm saying, in fact, they are sent to him and he was not encouraging them because they are sent him a gift. That what you have done is a blessed thing. Now, you see, believers should learn to be adults, grow up, not being impulsive. That is why, if you notice something here, no matter how much I sweat, I don't say offering time. I just take instantly announce a simple fact. Do you know my reason? Look, you see, you give as you earn. Do you understand my point? And people think that every time you go for a service, you must drop an offering. There are times I go for service, okay, there's a special offering, then there's a regular offering. What is the special offering for? There's no name for it, just a special offering. Yeah, look, you see, I told you that I can't be moved again. They have moved me so much that now I'm tired. However, what do? I go to a church. Let me just, look, this is just for practical let's say teaching. As a matter of rule, once I end my salary, there is a certain amount I write as check. Now, between that and next time, you can call John F. Avanzini, add to it this Nigeria economist preacher, he calls himself Apostle. Add him to it, add all the people that preach prosperity. When they finish moving the walls, everybody shift. Bank cannot go move. Except there is a reason. Most of those messages are born out of covetousness in the hearts of people. What I mean is that you tell a man, just give. There's one man who came to our church, said, in 3 months, I promise you something will happen. After that next day, he left. 3 months, have we seen him? Whether something happened or not, is he there to be caught? But Paul said, as every man has been blessed, I earn a salary right now so that I, on the whole, apart from my salary, little money, I have a certain average in mind that comes to me regularly. Based upon that, there are disbursements I make once they pay. You check my checks. Most of them not with cash. Check. I've written it. I just drop it. There's one line on my bed right now at home. I have not yet dropped. But I've written it, signed it. That is, I can't eat the money. Devourer can't take the money. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Need cannot take it. It is not my money. I don't budget on it at all. Once money comes in, that portion has gone out. Is it a tithe? No, I don't tithe. To me, it's an insult to tell me to tithe. I think you're insulting me. It's for children, honestly. There are places, let's get practical so I can close. One, as a believer, there are certain things you must do. One, give to charity. Churches do emphasize it now, but I think Jesus emphasized it more than any other thing. Read the whole scripture. It's very, very important. Two, give to the work of God. That's what we hear a lot preached. But the point I want to make from that is this. Whatever you are doing, please make it consistent. Let it be like a budget. Do you understand my point? If all I will give out of whatever I earn is 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 50, 80, 90%. But as the money is coming, it's going to various places. That is supposed, we want to be wound, you wind us first before we give money. Listen, the man who gives consistently, he's blessed consistently. That is the word of God. Another thing, you give to whom the Bible says you should honor. I don't care how rich your parents are, if you earn money, you must give to them. Look, giving to people like parents is not just out of need. It's out of what? Honor. I was listening to my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Poje, that day. He was quoting something that happened in Australia, that they wanted to increase the salary of their head of state, the president. And people were making noise. Said they asked one man, who's the pastor? You heard of Darlene Zesh, this woman that sings. The pastor of her church. Said the man was on TV, so they asked him, what does he think? He said, the man said, it's not a matter of need. It's a matter of honor. It's our president. Pastor Paul Adefarasin said something. The Bible says that those that labor in word and in doctrine are worthy of double honor. Now he says that, now this is what Pastor Paul, that's one scripture. Pastor Paul says that honor has financial implications. That is why Chris Okotie, those days when Big Boot was made in heaven, you know what I'm saying? Every year, the choice that is the most dedicated serving people in church, he dashes in Big Boot. Why? He said it is honor. Honor is not babake, babake, and you just a bow for the man. No, I've told you that Paul said there's what is called the demonstration of your love. It's not only Paul you give to. The man you are supposed to honor, the Bible says you do what? You give to him also. I told one of my friends, this is when they were entering ministry, I said, yeah, a preacher doesn't make you a beggar. I've seen preachers, I think everywhere they go, they must be collecting from people. I said, when you, look, it is important you give to a man of God. Very, very critical. However, as a man of God, don't demand people give to you. I say, you people that you visit also eat pineapple. Buy for them. Let your coming, let me tell you the truth, it's not just this issue of giving church, give in church. That's not the point. Let your life be surrounded with a good spirit. You understand what I'm going to say? That when you come, people are, they like to be near around you. The person, you know, you will notice that you don't like stingy people. It's not because you can't take from them. That's not the only reason you don't like stingy people. It is because, you see, it's a life matter, it's a spirit matter. Your spirit doesn't like their presence. They radiate death. They don't have life coming from them, always taking from you. I knew a guy once. Do you know, if the guy comes in here, I'll stop preaching, I'll go to the other side. Stingy like the Dead Sea, nothing comes out from him. He wasn't a poor man when I knew him. Look, brethren, time has gone. I have spoken at length. I thought I wouldn't speak this long, but let us just give God thanks. Let's thank God. We'll round up everything we'll be saying about this next time, and after that, I want to talk on one topic titled Activating the Blessings of God. It will just be perfect. I don't know whether we'll start that next time or later. I will start talking about a thankful heart, which also commands the movement of spirit positively in your direction. But today's message about the cheerful giver, like I said, let me recommend it. Everybody go and read that tract. I have not said everything that I wrote in there, but go and read it, please. You will be blessed by that tract. It's important. If you're not a giver, you ain't going anywhere in life. You must not only give to the work of God, that is good. You should give to the work of God. You should give to those who are in need, and you should give to yourself also. You should be, let your life radiate goodness as you move about. I mean, one day just buy somebody a drink for nothing's sake, just to prove to yourself that you can do it. If you're not a giver, you ain't going anywhere in life.